for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Ron Jeremy in the studio tonight. Ron is the porn star that wouldn't go away.
Oh, that's nice.
Well,
board-certified over here, and here's a guy that won't go away.
Well, here's what I mean. It's,
he means the best sense of that.
And I got a lot of praise to heap
I don't
on
know,
Ron.
I wouldn't want them to go away.
By the way. Okay. No, I don't want... I've been a fan for many years. But you did think, well, you hear, you know, he gets a little publicity, makes a little noise, but he's not going to, no staying power. But I guess that's what you need as a porn star.
He's got nothing but staying power.
He has
in every sense of the word.
Staying power. Yeah, and how can you argue with a guy who's been in the business as long as Ron has? But I'll tell you a couple things. First off, I need the movie Spank Me, F Me. I don't know how many times we have to go over this.
I can't find that one.
Now, you don't even know what it is.
My friend Moss butchered a whole bunch of movies.
I got the Taboo series, which is fantastic.
I've not witnessed these yet.
I've been looking for Spank Me, F Me
I'll
for
have Moss
a long
find
time.
Us. My friend will find Spank it's, Me, F
you're,
Me.
Well. You're in there with Minka.
I could find that. I'll get that one.
She's the number one Asian big boob queen.
She's huge. Their boobs are the size of our head. She's huge. Yeah.
That's right.
I'll find that for you.
Now, Drew, wasn't I saying how much I love this surreal life? The other night and possibly
yes,
the night
yes,
before.
And that Ron was a sort of the
spellbound.
Yeah.
The brains of the operation over there. My God. The losers that are in that house.
Oh, that's just wrong.
Oh, they're crazy. Tracy Bingham. Holy Christ.
That's one good looking girl, isn't she?
Good looking, but the brain is pure evil.
See, as more episodes come along, we have six episodes, and you'll see that people soften. There's a lot of controversy, but fun endings when we get along. It's the making up that's the best part. We go to a nudist camp.
Yeah, that's...
We go to a diner next episode where we all work at a diner, and Gary Coleman is our boss.
The guy that seems... Drew, hold on. We'll get to Taboo 2 in just one second. The guy that seems the most level-headed, other than you, is probably Eric Estrada.
Sure. He's a father, has kids, you know.
Is it that sort of male thing where you stop producing testosterone? You got, you know, you're like us. You're waiting to die.
Oh, gosh.
You don't want to get hassled along the way. But the estrogen production goes up. The testosterone
waiting
goes
to
down.
Die. Last time I was on the show, we discussed colonoscopies, remember?
I had one about 2 weeks ago.
Well, congratulations. How'd you do?
It went fine.
Fine. I had a sample. I was fine, too, but it's not quite as thorough.
I had a polyp.
Oh, you had a polyp?
Sample negative.
Dr. Drew
sample
had a polyp. Negative. So that means that if you had not gotten it done,
that's right.
Could have been a problem.
Could have been trouble.
Mm. Wow.
No, and the stool sample.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Drew had a polyp.
But I'm walking the walk.
That's good to know. I had a sample, which is not quite as good.
I'm telling you, I had a sample that was negative.
Oh, I see.
At exam, it was
what's
positive.
A sample?
What's a sample? Fish your stool out of the toilet.
Oh, really? Kind of like Hickory Farms.
He did it when he was doing a prostate check.
Right. That's easy.
All right. Well, the surreal...
What a topic this
surreal
is.
Surreal Life, Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. Best show the WB has. I watched it last Sunday. I was captivated. I came in buzzing about it. And everyone's good. Vanilla Ice is good. Tracy Bingham is fantastic. She's such a coos on this show. Trishelle is good from the real world. And... who am I missing?
Tracy Bingham, of course, from Baywatch. And, of course, our Tammy Faye.
Oh, Tammy Faye, yeah.
He just called Tracy Bingham.
Coos.
Tracy Coos.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre group of people, and crazy things happen. We deal with the community. We give our brownies to the community. We go to a nudist camp.
It's only 2 weeks.
Put on a play for children.
You're only there for 2 weeks.
We're there for 12 days. No phones, no computers, no TV. We have to interact. Mm-hmm. We also had two pets, a parakeet and my pet tortoise named Cherry.
Now, when he says pet tortoise, he means that's when he pulls his scrotum up over his penis and dances around the house.
That was one of my jokes. The place was designed to look like Austin Powers. It was Glenn Campbell's old mansion.
Oh,
and they made
right?
it very Austin Powersy. So I bought a turtle to poke his head out. Some people got that. Some people didn't. But it really is a pet tortoise, though. That's for sure.
Are you allowed to have those? Don't they carry hepatitis?
No. So you worry about the thing called...
Arizona Hinshawyi.
Yeah.
No, it's called
Salmonella.
Salmonella.
Yeah,
but
they also...
In some states, you can't even own a turtle.
Yeah. But that's the little ones. That's the little...
Yeah, but what is the thing of them?
That's why you don't see those anymore. The little ones you had when we were kids?
Yeah.
Salmonella.
I don't get it. So what is it they can carry? Some kind of diseases?
Bacteria.
Well, they just say if you just wash your hands before you eat, you're fine.
Basically.
All right. Let's keep moving forward. Anyway.
Yeah. enough of the infectious diarrhea talk.
Surreal Life. Excellent show. Sunday nights on WB. I will. Are you going to the nudist camp?
We go to the nudist camp. You'll see which of us gets nude, which of us don't, who's bottomless, who's topless.
I bet Ron's
Tammy Faye gets
last
the first set. Tammy,
oh, yeah.
It's funny you're saying that. We were playing volleyball. Vince Neil was there with his girlfriend. She was the first one to pull her top off. Mm-hmm. You show nudity, you win points. It's a nude volleyball game. Now, I said it's too typical. The adult film actor takes his clothes off. I said, I'll make you all a deal. If anyone in this cast takes off their clothes, I'll go second.
Right.
Smart, huh?
Who stepped up?
You'll see.
Oh, yes.
But as funny as Tammy Faye got very upset.
All right.
And I said, Tammy, didn't the Lord say we're all, we're born this way? Where's that something in the Bible against nudity? Well, she was very upset about the whole thing, and she really was upset.
Well, it's surprising when you find out these televangelists are actually religious people. Like you think. It's like thinking Chuck Connors is actually the gunman or the rifleman, right. You know what I mean? Or right. Mannix or
she's
something like that.
She's actually a very, very, very nice lady. You know, the majority of her audience, she does a one-woman show. She travels around the country in Canada, singing and doing a comedy act and preaching the Jesus. And the majority of her audience is gay. 99% of her audience is gay. Look at the audience. It's all gay.
They love cancer.
And the church is not too crazy about gays either. They're not allowed to go to heaven if they're gay, supposedly.
The gays aren't there for entertainment. They're there for camp value.
Whatever, that could be it. But her audience is gay.
All right. So is ours. You ready to go, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ron is here. Please find me the spank me, F me. And don't make me beg.
All right.
It's going to get horrible.
We can't have that happen. And by the way, you said it was on Channel 5, KTLA, of course.
I told... Yeah. What?
In Los Angeles.
I said the WB.
Yeah, so it's Channel 5 here in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't worry about Los Angeles. Listen.
You're talking to people all over the country.
Let me tell you something. I opened a Hustler about 5 years ago. I read the review to Spank Me, F Me. It has Minka and Kayla Cleavage in it.
You've been trying to find it ever since?
Ron starring. It wasn't real flattering. It was like the women are handling these big jugs. Ron Jeremy's handling a sizable gut of his own. I mean, and not a flattering.
Not to mention the schmeckle.
Not a flattering.
But you had to see it.
Yeah. But I had to see it, and I thought to myself, where do you find this thing? I don't know where to find this movie. And then I thought, you know what? I'll just call my local adult video store, and I'll rent it.
It's hard to find.
And I called them, and I said, and you get real serious when you're talking about pornography. Excuse me. Yes, I'm looking for an adult title.
I'll get it.
I'd like to, it's called Spank Me, F Me, and I actually said F.
Who thought up that creative title? They wanted to know.
And the guy was like, huh? And I said, Spank Me, F Me. And he said, what? And I just came out and said, Spank Me.
Right.
I said the entire word, and he hung up. And then I immediately got angry.
It's hard to find.
Why are you calling it this? So I can be? So I can humiliate myself at the video store and then get hung up on? Just call it, call it, Ron meets Minka or
Ron
something.
Ron meets gigantic boobies.
Yeah, give us a modicum of dignity when we try to find this thing.
Yeah, the guy was wrong.
Hung up on? I mean, do you want to work the F word right into the goddamn title? It's how you're going to move
this thing.
It's wrong.
I didn't title it, by the way. I think it's a Metro film. Because they have a compilation. I think I can get a hold of it through Metro Interactive.
Speaking of working in a title.
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk about Cabin Fever.
We do?
Yeah. We're going to be doing this for the next four nights. Robin, hold. Ron, just hang on for 1 second here. Tonight, just like last night, everyone over 18 and over, will get a free DVD of the movie Cabin Fever. Apparently, it's quite interesting with lots of backstage kinds of interviews and that sort of thing. It'll be available on DVD starting January 20th for those of you that have to go out and purchase it, not those of you who win it. Mm. And those who win will be, this is the cool part of the whole thing, automatically entered into a drawing to win a trip for four to Whistler.
Yeah.
Airfare, cabin, lift tickets, everything included.
How about those losers send over a couple of copies, by the way?
Yeah, Lauren.
Do you have any of those copies?
No,
there?
We don't have any of the copies.
We want to see Cabin Fever.
You guys want to laugh?
What?
My face is in that movie.
Really?
Good. I'll tell you why. The bad guy, played by James DeBello, who was in Detroit Rock City, he wears a Ron Jeremy t-shirt for about one half the movie.
Oh, really?
I'm not lying. I got so many phone calls about Cabin Fever. It's Lionsgate produced it. I had executives at Lionsgate telling me that you are all over this movie.
You know what I like about
my
Ron?
Name and my face is on
Did
this.
Did they ask you about it?
I gave them the t-shirt on Detroit Rock City.
I'm saying they don't want you to ask for money for the...
No, of course not.
You know what I like about Ron? He may be a haggard porn star, but he's a Jew first. You know what I mean? He's
haggard?
No, I mean...
Oh, listen, I would discuss colonoscopies with him.
Seasoned porn veteran, but he's a Jew first. You know, he knows Lionsgate. He knows the producers. He's got everyone. He's dropping everyone's name. He's networking. You see what I'm saying?
Well, not a lot of films have my face on a t-shirt. You know, it's kind of exciting.
I would reckon. And by the way, what a great time it is to be Ron Jeremy,
yeah,
living in
these
Sodom and Gomorrah-esque judgment-free environment.
Where, oh God!
Well, but nobody hears what I'm saying. Take this in the
context,
in the spirit,
explained.
In the spirit in which
I respect that.
Intended, which is. Some years ago, and not so many years ago, a guy like Ron Jeremy would be living on the sort of fringes of mm-hmm. society. I mean, you'd be making a living, you'd be making a decent living, you'd have your circle and stuff, but you'd probably not be welcome into mainstream.
I couldn't go to
society.
A wedding, they're afraid I'd put something in the punch bowl. I understand.
Right. And now, people just have bigger fish to fry than castigating porn stars.
Right.
I mean, we're thinking about catching terrorists and this
mad cow disease.
Everything under that, right? It's SARS. Everything in, you know, China, Korea. Everything under that just turns into sort of entertainment. And a guy like Ron just becomes a sort of friendly mascot for the porn industry, and he's woven his way quite seamlessly into the mainstream fabric of America.
I'm ready to cry right now and salute the flag.
Thank you. All right, just use your hand.
It scares me when you say salute.
Can we join hands and sing We Are the World, guys?
Andrea?
Hi.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had the flu last week, and they put me on Vicodin because, like, my whole body hurts, so they just put me on Vicodin.
Yeah. Did they do that?
Yeah,
they do that now.
Or coding, yeah. The flu can be so painful, yeah.
Wow, nice.
And?
After I was done with the medicine, I'm like totally emotional. Like,
oh, you're withdrawing from it.
Mm.
How long were you on it for?
For a week, I guess.
I thought you were going to ask. You were going to allude to being emotional while on it. I have some patients who put on opiates like that and they start sobbing and they feel dysphoric and horrible.
Hmm. But maybe that's how they really feel.
Well,
you know
I'm
what I mean? And the medications just open them up to
Thank
that.
Thank you, Mr. 1974.
Think about it, dude.
Yeah, dude, my head will explode.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a biological alteration, their mood function.
Mm-hmm.
But also withdrawal can be. And do you crave the drug?
No, I was only on it for, a week? And
no, I understand, but
well,
some people...
do you
people
want it or not?
Yeah, do you think about it a lot? Do you wish you had it back? Anything like that?
No.
Okay, so you're just having some residual effects. That will go away in about 3 to 5 days.
Okay.
All right.
And what about the wisdom of putting people on Vicodin when people fall in love with it in a very short period of time?
It's a really interesting question. The first thing you learn in medical school is how to take pain away. It's very satisfying. And you want to, and you know, stopping suffering is sort of one of the things you're trying to do as being a physician. And opiates do that, but it's very difficult.
I know,
we're
talking about a 20-year-old chick with the flu here. You know,
she's
supposed to drink some tea and eat some top ramen and sort of gut it out for a few days.
If she had the genetic setup for an addiction, it could have started that ball rolling.
And what about just in general, without getting too philosophical, Ron, you can weigh in here, which is, in general, telling everybody, don't worry, here's a pill, it'll go away. You're suffering, your pain. I mean, the sort of tests historically that if life puts in front of you are all gonna go away.
Not a good thing, necessarily.
Yeah. Right. A 20-year-old gets the flu, a 20-year-old should suck it up for a few days.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm Jerry.
Are you hearing an echo in your head, by the way?
A little bit, yeah. I think it sounds like
that's a sign of the flu.
The echo? Oh, you guys aren't hearing it.
Is it still prevalent right now in America right this moment?
It's coming down.
Epidemic's dropping now?
Yeah, substantially.
Good.
The
flu.
Particularly out here in Southern California, we had it. Boy, it was bad.
So it's eased up
Christmas.
A little bit. That's good to know.
Quite a bit.
Ashley.
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
I lost my virginity probably about a month ago. And just recently, probably about a week and a half ago, I've been like, I shaved down there, but also like I broke out like little bumps. Mm-hmm. Not like down like more, like it's kind of like a rash almost.
Yeah, but you don't think it's from the shaving?
No, because like the bumps from that, like I know what those are like. So.
So this are like these blisters?
Like, over something.
Are these blisters?
No.
Do they hurt?
It's like irritation? No, it's just irritation. They don't.
Hard
hurt,
to know what
like,
that is. It may just be some more folliculitis, which is what you're describing before from the shaving. Mm-hmm. Or it could be a real sexually transmitted disease.
How long does it take? Let's say, God forbid, it was like, you know, herpes or something.
So it's,
how long does it take after contact with a person?
It's a sort of an unknown, although
really?
some people will be very dogmatic about it and say it has, you know, first there's a week of of you know, when the virus is building up, and then you get a flu-like syndrome, and then your glands swell up in the inguinal area, and then you get this painful outbreak within, you know, 10 days or so. I have seen people that swear it was the day before.
They mean before. The day before. I mean, they got it.
So the next day?
The next day they get.
But how about warts? How about
warts can be anything. It's usually weeks and weeks for that, but it can be years and years for that, too.
So warts, if they can, someone got something a week later, chances that would not be warts.
No, warts, they're just, it's just a skin tag.
Oh, is it papilloma?
Yeah, you don't even, people don't notice, though. They're not sores, right? They're not like rashes.
They say everyone has papilloma, supposedly, but it only comes out.
Adam doesn't like to believe that, but yes.
Well, I won $100 off one of the cheapest men in America, which is Dr. Drew, or Dr. Jew, as I like to call him. Because I had nothing on my penis. How dare you, and thank you.
He had some suspicious lesions.
So the good news for this girl is the good news for this.
I wouldn't have got a nickel out of you if there was anything even close to suspicious. How dare you?
So the good news for this girl is it probably is nothing serious.
Yeah, but what I was trying to tell her is that, I can't tell what she's describing over the radio. They don't know how to describe rash.
Doc has to see it.
Somebody's got to look at it while she has the rash. That's what's important. You understand? People think, well, this will go away. If it goes away, you've lost the opportunity to figure out what it was. Because most
won't a blood test show herpes?
No, it's not really effective. It really is.
Ron, you of all people.
Yeah, the blood tests are
never. I'm fine.
They overdiagnose.
I know, but you should be a doctor.
They overdiagnose. What do you mean?
They're not good screening tests. They're really not. They have to be in a setting of high suspicion to really be accurate.
They have to actually investigate a bump.
It has to really look like it.
Is it true that they say about 65 to 70% of sexually active people probably have it, don't even know it?
Herpes? That's the people
he's talking about warts.
Well, warts for sure.
Herpes first.
But herpes, that kind of data circulates out there based on these blood tests you're talking about.
Right.
The reality is it's probably more like around 10%.
Wow.
Or less.
So these people getting pimples, getting all panicky.
I know.
Ron, you can get laid, finally.
I kept saying, it's only a cold sore, honey. No,
safe for you to head out.
I haven't tested and I'm fine, but it was a blood test.
Well, let's talk about this for just 1 second. Mm. First off, I got a question for Ron. And isn't Ron, what a great position to be in. He's been in the
industry. Missionary or doggy position.
He's been in the industry for 30 years.
26 years.
Wow. 26 years. And obviously for women, you know, it's 18 to 23 and then a new crop. I mean, I know some last a little longer.
Many, many years longer.
Okay, yeah. But the turnover, what I mean is there's a new fresh crop waiting around each corner. Ron, you know, becomes more seasoned and more distinguished, and the new women keep rolling in. It's like his balls are like the sack of Dorian Gray. You know,
I'm,
like,
I'm going to hurl.
Balls never get old.
I'm going
they
to throw up.
It'd be a great movie. They've been in the industry for 70 years, but now here's another 18-year-old
playing in a theater near you. Ron Jeremy's ball sack. Yeah, that's nice.
All right, so let me ask you this now. Mm-hmm. The trends change. You know, the women, they shave. There's piercings. There's tattoos.
Right. That's correct.
What do you like?
I like more natural, the better. I'm a big fan of natural.
Whatever was emblazoned in his head when he was 15, that's what he still likes.
It's funny. It's true. You know, I've asked guys that question. Yeah. If you like large or small breasts, and most guys whose mom was large like them large. Those whose moms are small. And they don't think about the parent naturally, but I hope not. But they actually do find the similarity. I like natural. I'm just a big fan. Although, then again, who am I to talk? If the girl's got a pulse, I'm happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Ron. It's only nailed 4,000 chicks.
If she breathes and says yes, I'm fine. Well, no, I'm kidding.
Well, here's the thing, too. I guess what we're asking is I personally like the women of yore in porn.
That's the
hairier.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying.
I'm a little more natural looking.
More of a hippie attitude. More of a free love.
I still think that's what harkens back to what your first impression of a woman was when puberty came on.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. When you were in high school and looking at those women in Playboy from the '60s that's
or
'70s,
looking at Gilligan's Island or
that's
Beverly Hillbillies.
That's your idea of hot.
You're absolutely right,
dude. He likes Mrs. Howell. That's weird.
Wrong one. Jethro.
Now when you see the crazy piercings and the tats and everything, women look a little sharp-edged now, and it's scarce.
Because like Playboy tries to hire women who are from the good old days. If you look, Playboy doesn't like to hire tattoos or pierces and stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
You ever noticed that?
Yeah.
They like them big boobies, of course, but,
Even they are doing more like belly piercings and shaving downstairs and stuff. And they're sort of a couple notches behind the time. But
It takes energy to do those things.
But the market is so...
It all speaks of energy.
Yeah.
And then you ask, what is that energy? Where is it coming from? What does it smack of? It's all aggression.
Yeah.
The market is so saturated right now, you can get anything for any tastes. Like, you can get a whole video line of videos about women who are hairy. They have a whole series like that for girls who look like they did in the old days. Non-tattooed, tattooed. I mean, I'm not joking. There's something for any taste.
But life is so short.
Listen, you flick through the back of these magazines, they got the chicks with the penises hanging off.
Anything you want. The company I work for, Metro, has all kinds of varieties. You know, you like them black and white, white and black, threesomes, threesomes, gang, whatever you
want. Has anybody studied what people go after?
Yes. They have computers in every video store across America, and you'd be amazed. I'll tell you, want to be shocked?
Yeah, yeah.
This will knock your socks off. The majority of video stores around the country, the majority of tapes that leave the store are generally heterosexual. When they check the peep show booths to see what the majority of people are looking at, transsexual and gay and bi. Which means a lot of the same guys who come in there to rent an adult tape for him and the wife at home will sneak into a peep show and see a gay or a bisexual tape.
No.
Doesn't want the wife to know about it.
Different guy.
No.
No, new guy.
Oh, but it's the same clientele.
Guy heading to the peep show looking at the gay stuff is gay, and he's just that. Here's the thing about the gay.
No, but isn't it interesting?
The majority
of peep show sales are gay and bi. Yeah, majority of rentals are heterosexual.
Not the same guy. That's
so he leaves the store with a heterosexual.
No. Right, but maybe different, different guys. Yeah.
Different
guys. I don't know.
Maybe
a lot of people.
And by the way, the gay male that is looking at a peep show maybe try to hide his homosexuality.
That's true, too.
Taking stuff home.
He's had it right.
Let me say this.
Weird.
When you're gay, the world is your basement. You F and jack off everywhere. Gay guys
really
a trail of semen everywhere.
It's not
parks,
the opinion of the sponsors, folks. Here,
Adam has
hiking
trails.
Has
gay envy. See.
Gay guys got no trouble peeling one off at a spa. They got no trouble peeling. Oh, you go to one of these.
They
peel one off everywhere.
Like it's a banana.
That's why all the peep show stuff is gay. These are guys, gay guys, they're just leaving their, they're like Zorro. They're leaving that mark everywhere. That's what they do. That's their thing.
Whatever you say. I'm interested in this preference thing that there's. They have to have so many different kinds of things. Whether people study,
and what
makes those preferences? You know, they should just. If
it would be a doctoral dissertation on sociology. It's incredible,
right? I mean, what creates those preferences?
There's foot fetishes. There's B&D. There's S&M.
That would say so much.
There's even
about
a smoking tape. Girls who smoke cigarettes while they're performing fellatio, and that sells
so much about the human motivational system.
You're right.
Is so much.
You're right.
All right. But let me just say a couple quick things.
It is the weird one.
Drew, shut up. The weird one is the bug squashing one. That's a weird one.
They prosecuted those people. That's disgusting. They started with bugs. They did like rodents.
Yeah.
So they even little baby cats.
And they moved into midgets.
They were prosecuted heavily. People wanted to firebomb their house. That was horrible.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to buy those things.
Somebody wanted.
Yes. That's very
scary.
Forget
the fact that they. All right,
but
we're going to hell in a handbasket, Dr. Drew. Someone bought those tapes.
That's another thing. See, Ron just doing his boring old straight porn.
That's exactly right.
He's
old fashioned.
Yeah, that's your.
Yeah, I meet a pretty girl. I play hide the bacon.
Model,
I sleep till Christmas.
Model T.
That's
right.
Your grandpa's porn.
I burp, roll over, and watch HBO. That's my life.
He doesn't pee on anybody.
Nope.
He doesn't squash any potato bugs with his ball sack.
Nah.
He doesn't do anything.
Well, if you ask. But no, really.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, we got to go to break. But let me just say one more thing about those preference things. You know, you're looking through a penthouse, every third picture someone getting peed on. And I think to myself, really, is there a majority of people that want to see people getting urinated on?
It's a kink. They're trying to stretch the boundary.
No, wait a minute. But they want to sell magazines. So really, it must sell magazines. And you talked to Larry Flynt about this. You don't remember this?
Yeah, I do.
And he said that he
doesn't remember, but I do.
Yeah, he ran a series of pictures, and he'd never had such a response.
Big response.
So he started putting them in. Magazine sales went up.
All right,
that's right. Pictures of
women urinating on men, basically.
Yeah.
What about the... No,
it's different.
No, they're urinating on each other, too.
However, the magazines are now suffering really bad because penthouse is almost out of business.
Why?
Two reasons. One, internet. And two, Maxim, Stuff, Details, Detour, FHM are kicking their rear ends. You know what's really weird? Yeah. Because people would rather see J-Lo or Britney Spears or some famous girl in a skimpy clothes, like a bathing suit, than see a model nude.
Yeah.
Or even see hardcore.
Yeah.
The Maxim is kicking their rear ends.
Different guy at a different time.
Now, Larry Flynt was smart. Yeah. He's now gotten into satellite. He's got into videos and DVDs. So he's actually going on to other things because he knows there's a problem. Penthouse is almost finished.
Now, I'll tell you.
Playboy still is holding
on. I'll tell you what it is. It's when things get stretched a little too far, we snap back. It's like the yuppie phase. No. I meant the preppy phase. Mm. People were holes in their jeans, hair down to here, wearing Haggard, the total hippie rock and roll thing. What came off of that? Preppy. Mm-hmm. Short haircuts, wearing the Izod shirts and the slacks and the penny loafers. When stuff goes too far, eventually snaps back and then it starts heading back again.
Yeah.
So we've now snapped back. Well, we got to take a break, but let me say one more goddamn thing. I was looking through one of these magazines. It's like Stuff Magazine, or they have these. They have ones that are a little more aggressive. And it's basically nude chicks. Every other page is suicide bombers that have blown themselves up. So
like
human body parts strewn around the Tel Aviv marketplace.
Really?
And then nude chicks.
They're not nude. And Max on that stuff, they're not nude.
Topless, whatever.
No, they're not. No, they're very skimpy, right.
I'm talking about the slightly more aggressive ones, like Loaded or something like that.
It's almost, but not quite topless.
Don't argue with me, Ron. I'll shut your goddamn mic off. Point is this. I understand the cars and the nude chicks. What's the part about the, guy got his head blown off and then the nude chick? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's weird.
All right. Can't
teach him to fantasize.
Cannot jack to that. All right, listen, Ron. You focus on getting me spank me, F me. I'm going to the bathroom. And when I come back.
Well, thanks for sharing.
I expect it'll be sitting here. Okay?
Oh, what you do in the bathroom is sitting there?
No.
Oh, when the tape. Okay,
spank
gotcha.
Spank me, F me.
Gotcha.
Ron Jeremy here from a little show called The Surreal Life on the WB Sunday night. And listen, I'm not just saying this. Excellent show. Watch it. And if you don't believe me, I'll give you your money back. We'll be back after this. Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ron Jeremy, this legendary penis, is in the studio tonight.
Oh, I'm here. The penis is parking the car outside.
Oh, really? Drew? Put your big toe up there and find out. Ron is here. Ron is on The Surreal Life, which is on the WB Sunday nights, 9 o'clock. I watched all of last season religiously. And
you liked it last year, too.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And it was great. And I watched the first episode of this season, and it was spectacular. Mm. They've upped the ante, and it's a great show. I don't know what else to say about it.
We're very happy that it was a hit. We're very excited about that. It was
interesting.
It was the number one time for any time slot, 9 to 10 on a Sunday. It was Warner Brothers' most successful show.
Huh.
Yeah. Now, Ron's got to hold his ears for 1 second, because Jimmy Kimmel, I told you, about a year ago, maybe it was about a year and a half ago, we were sitting around and Jimmy said, I got a great idea for a TV show. Yeah. It's a great idea. It's called Has-Been House. Now, your name didn't come up. But
and Garrett did.
But he said, we're going to get celebrities. We're going to get like Gary Coleman, and we're going to get Ponch, and we're going to get all these guys, and we're going to put them all together in the same house, and then we're going to torture them. You know, we'll devise things. We'll do this. We'll get them going at it. And everyone's like, oh, that's great. And we made a few phone calls, and it's like, yeah, they were just getting started on Surreal Life. It hadn't aired yet or anything, but it aired maybe a few months later, and they'd already begun the process. So, and by the way, just we'll move on to the calls. But next time you accuse somebody of ripping off your idea, you got to really think about it. A, you came up with it, so how great could it be? And then B, there's only a certain amount of decent ideas out there. I was sitting there when Jimmy came up with this. We hashed it out. It was the exact same show. We hadn't heard anything of it.
You're in the same sort of socio-historical context. And
sure.
So people are going to think of the same
thing. You would have had a problem.
Yeah.
Because you would have had a problem, seriously, with your show. Because if you're going to torture the celebrities, it's not going to stay.
Well,
they'd walk. It couldn't offer enough for the money. No one did it for the money. Huh. America Strong has a Rolls Royce. I mean, everyone's got money. But if you're going to torture them, they're not going to do it. None of us would have done a Survivor.
Vanilla Ice doesn't have money. Does he have money?
Yeah, he does.
Really?
Yeah, that was what? How many times platinum? That's
remember
that's
he had, a leopard or an ocelot or something at the zoo.
So if you're saying torturing celebrities, doing fun events is what we do. And sometimes it's uncomfortable and weird. But if you're going to really torture them like a Survivor.
You've already told us you've tortured her.
Yeah, that was a pretty rough time.
No, that's what I mean by torture. I mean, put them on a rack. Lily?
I'd go for that.
I want to set up the Surreal House Clinic.
Yeah.
Just the
council.
Yeah, it's just the fallout.
Yeah.
What's happening, baby doll? You're 23.
Yeah, Adam, I want to say I love you. You're hilarious.
Thanks, Lily.
You are like the highlight of my night.
Thanks.
Okay. My question is, first I have to explain why I didn't experiment with this new toy that I got for 6 months. My husband's in the Army. And I decided as, like, a little surprise come-home for him was that I was going to get my clit pierced. It's something that he's wanted me to do for a long time. So I had it for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. He came home, and I finally got to try it out. And my question for Dr. Drew is, like, my sensitivity is gone. Like, I thought it was, like, supposed to heighten your orgasms. Sure, whatever. I don't have them.
Was it the clit or the hood over the clit?
It was the clit.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, the actual clit itself.
Well, no, I
I guess not. It's where that they typically pierce it at. So.
It's up above.
I've seen some girls actually get the actual clit pierced. I actually saw them out twice. I wanted to cry.
You know? I would think that would feel bad all the time. Uncomfortable all the time, yeah.
Okay, Well, listen.
Well, Lily, you're putting a foreign body into an organ, basically. A part of your body is...
I took it out, and I took it out because I couldn't feel anything, and I thought maybe it was just the ring, and I took it out, and I still, sensitivity is gone. And I was wondering if maybe they might, something might have happened when they pierced me, or...
Well, yes, a foreign body entered
they
your...
They put a hole
yeah,
in
they put
your
a,
clit. That's
yeah,
what happened.
If they had taken the clit off, you know, would you be surprised if something happened? The point being, though, you can damage the nerves and whatnot, and they grow back oftentimes, hopefully. So there should be some restitution of function within about a year.
This is a public service announcement right now.
Look, first off, I can't believe that it increases sensitivity. Now, maybe it doesn't increase sensitivity, but it feels better because there's a little ball jingling on your cooch 24/7. I don't think that makes it more sensitive.
Right.
That just means, look, if I just walked behind you with my hand between your legs and diddled your clit, you'd be a little more, you'd have a sensation down there.
Especially you, because she likes you.
Yeah,
she got a shot there.
And I do that move where I lick my hand. You know, that's a signature thing. But let me say this. Here's what I was thinking about. I don't know. I was thinking of an analogy when she was talking. Everyone's talking about getting a clit pierced, which is, it's like your clit, it's like your vagina, so you got a Porsche down there. Now, someone is saying, let's hook a nitrous bottle up to it. We can squeeze out another 100 horsepower.
Right.
Yeah, you might, but you can blow the engine too.
Yes.
Void the warranty.
Yes.
Screw the whole thing up. Meanwhile, you got a Porsche.
Yeah.
Just enjoy.
That's right.
Go out and drive.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, but it's like, but there's something out there that could make it even better. Yeah, but you could blow the engine up.
And think it would motivate someone to do that to a car. It's about the same thing as with the clitoris.
Yes.
Like you need more thrill, more arousal.
We have a famous expression which is called, don't fix what ain't broken.
That's right.
That's right. Can you say it in
Yiddish? As long as your body's working, I wish I could. If it works, just fine.
I swore he was going to say something Yiddish, right? Old saying.
All I know is Gekaken Afen Yaman Vishtein Tachas Metachavalias.
See, I knew he had it in him.
It means go take a dump in the ocean and wipe your rear end with the waves. My grandmother used to say that.
What?
I love that. I want to hear it again. One more time.
Gay kaken afen yaman vishtem tachas metachavalias.
What?
I might have said it wrong. I don't know.
Yiddish.
I love that. Yiddish is great. I love that. You know,
it's close to German. It's almost German.
I love the
taken kaken.
I like mayor, like
it's
head grow in the ground like an onion.
When the Jews used to curse, they tell you an entire story.
Yeah.
In America, it's just like F you, but in they curse in German, may your daughter marry a bad guy or something. They give you a whole speech.
There was one, my old uncle would say, your teeth should fall out and hair should grow up in its place.
I know, by the time you curse, the guy's already left, you know what I mean?
It's bad, too, when the person is laughing halfway through the curse. And then the other thing, too, about the Jews that's screwy is the good stuff. Even the good stuff sounds bad. Like, this guy's a mensch. Sounds like a horrible guy. Mensch is that's a good true. Thing. Wait, it should sound better than mensch. Everything sounds crappy.
But funny.
Yeah, but funny. Funniest language in the world. All right. And then there are some good screwy ones, like my grandpa spoke Hungarian, and that's a good wacky, that's a wacky novelty, Lodka from Taxi kind of language.
I knew this gay guy who was giving his parents some really, really good news. He was Jewish, homosexual, and he told his parents, they call it Naches and Tzuris. Naches is happiness, Tzuris is sadness. Because I have some very bad news. Well, to you anyway, I'm gay. Parents goes, what's the good news? He's a nice Jewish doctor.
I said Naches. Doesn't sound great, does it? I got Naches.
That's my Yiddish for today.
Can we get that drained? Sit down.
It all sounds like food, though.
It all sounds like food, but like I said, you got to do better than mensch when you're talking about a good guy. Stephanie?
Hey.
Drew, come up. I'm telling you, there's five other ones you can't tell. You don't know what's good and what's bad with the Jews.
Oh, sure.
We'll work on it during the break. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Here's one, Stephanie. Verga Hargit.
Is that good or bad?
Right.
Okay.
It's drop dead.
Oh, see?
look at Hebrew. The word in Hebrew called shalom. They say, it means hello and goodbye. Which one is it? Well, if they leave after you said it, it was goodbye.
Aloha.
Right. Same thing, right?
Go ahead, Stephanie.
I wanted to first ask you guys, why are you coming to Stanford next week? Because I live right by there, and I wanted to come see you guys. And what are you going to do there?
We're going to do Love Line, basically.
Yeah, we're going to live talk there.
Yeah,
and we're going. Listen, we're going to be in. We're going to be in Stanford. We're going to be on campus, and that's going to be
like 8 o'clock. It's big, some big theater there.
Wednesday
auditorium. Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Anyone can come watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, there may be tickets. There may be free. I don't. We don't know.
Tell your friends.
All right, I'm definitely, me and my friends are going to be there.
Well, say hi to us.
Yeah. And, yeah, I had a question. Mm-hmm. Lately, over the past, year or two, I've been, my self-esteem has just been kind of dropping. Like, I just don't feel confident as much as I used to, and, I'm always putting myself down, and, I feel like everyone's better than me, kind of, and, it's almost to the point where, I felt lately, that maybe I need to sleep guys, with them in order to get their attention, and, I don't know why my self-esteem is getting so bad.
You know, Stephanie, that's an interesting description you give us, because people that have sort of seriously low self-esteem usually feel that way all the time, and have always sort of felt that way, or can't remember a time when they really felt good about themselves.
It's just kind of been getting worse and worse.
I hear that. And the worthlessness, are you having trouble sleeping?
No, luckily not.
Are you eating normally?
I can sleep well.
Are you eating normally?
Yeah, I eat normally.
Do you feel like crying all the time?
Pretty often, yeah.
Do you feel like life is giving you syrup?
Because or not?
How about the parents? Do
you want to say fat to help?
But what she's describing is depression. And depression eventually will affect thinking, and worthlessness is sometimes a symptom of depression.
Are parents partially responsible for this? Or they make a person feel like when parents put the child down sometimes?
Of course, parents figure in everything that's going on with an adolescent. But I think, Stephanie, you really need to get this about. Your grades dropping, too?
Actually, my grades aren't that bad, but it's just because I got really lucky with my really easy classes. But I managed to get a 3.0.
But you're having trouble keeping your grades up.
I usually get around the 3.0.
Just say it's dropping so Drew can be right.
How about socializing? How's he socializing with friends?
I haven't, I'm pretty social. I can make friends pretty easily, but lately I haven't really felt going up to people as much as I usually do.
Do your parents put you down?
Leave her parents alone.
I'm curious,
my dad lives in Russia and I haven't seen him for 12 years because... My parents got divorced, and I live with my mom and my aunt, my grandma, but they're good to me.
Are you irritable a lot of the time?
Excuse me?
Are you irritable a lot?
What do you mean?
Do you get angry easily and get
I kind of do actually.
Yeah, these are all symptoms of depression, Stephanie. It might be simple enough as having your depression treated. This all could go away because the thinking and the negativity, it may just be all the function of the biological state you're in from the depression. So you need to go back, find a doctor, talk to someone about your depressive symptoms, and get that treated. The whole thing may reverse with proper treatment.
All right, let me say this, and we'll see you at Stanford on Wednesday.
Yep.
Okay. Here's the thing. I was just thinking about this. When you're older, it's this way too. But especially when you're in your teens, doesn't always seem like you're heading one direction or the other. Either you're building on your successes, you're becoming confident. You've just had a couple of sexual conquests. You've made the varsity basketball team or cheerleading team.
Or
your girlfriend dumped you. Your boyfriend dumped you. You got a D in history. You know, it's just weird. If you took a look at your life, it wouldn't be bars. It'd be a flowing river. You know, that would sort of be like a graph that was heading up and heading down, and it wouldn't be sharp either. It'd be curved up and curved down. Maybe everyone does that their whole life.
No, I think part of having what you strive to as an adult is create stability. So
I know, but even that never works. Oh, and even never, from day to day,
yes, of course.
Know, good days, bad days.
Yeah, that's life.
Well, there isn't an uphill without a downhill. This is a fact, right?
There's got to be Yiddish saying for this.
No, you guys are really getting me good on this Yiddish thing. They know there's a Jew in the room.
We're going to take, Drew's after you. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to figure.
We'll take his top half.
We're going to come up with our Yiddish words and Hebrew words, and then we're going to try to figure out if they're good or bad. I tell you, cannot tell by the sound of the word. You see what I'm saying?
It is sometimes nice to get out of depression with this girl on the phone to look forward to something that's happening in the future that's really exciting.
Well, and you know, as Adam says, long walks, exercise, eat right, classical music. But it sounds like she's
look forward to Stanford.
But she's got in such a negative state that she might need some help with that. But you know.
All right.
She'll also make it through it pretty easily.
All right.
Now, 3.0 is not bad either.
Let me see. I'll try to say this in Yiddish. A break we should take.
Yes. Yes, we should.
We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ron Jeremy.
It's great to be here.
The prolific Ron Jeremy. What a career. We're talking, dozens and dozens and hundreds and thousands of porn films.
And you got a film right there, by the way, the Being Ron Jeremy one.
I got Being Ron Jeremy, which is
me and Andy Dick as my co-star.
Dynamite.
Funny, funny film like Being John Malkovich with a twist.
Huh. I also got Taboo, and what is this? Is this the old? No, what is this, a new Taboo?
You got part 2, 3, and 4,
though. This is one here.
I got 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, part 1, 2, and 3.
It looks like the wrong cover for 1. 2 is fantastic, and 3 is going to be great. It's about a guy who's not only raping his mom, but his sister, Drew. He's a very special, special man.
Is that Junior?
That's Junior.
Wow.
He's got it all.
This is the whole family here, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he
it's
does.
It's cool, Tubbo. We can't make films like that anymore. Those films have been off the shelf for years.
Yeah.
And Morse had a real hard time getting them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I God bless him, by the way. And, you know, John from System of a Down, by the way, is a huge, huge Taboo man. But, yeah, I wish they'd release more of those older films on DVD. The soundtrack to Taboo 2. Ron, I don't know if you had any part of that, but
you heard these songs?
I play classical piano. I didn't do it on that one, though.
Second to none. Second to none, Anderson. All right.
He has it all. Yes, he does.
You remember this?
Heck no.
Come on.
It's a classic.
He knows how to please an
oh, my goodness. I did this movie like 20-some-odd years ago.
Come on, buddy. You know the words.
You're upset at him.
He careful. Can do more than you'd ever. And do it with style.
You know what's funny?
It with me.
Oh, the director, yes, Curdy Stevens, had a son who was very heavily involved in music and had a lot of like synthesizers in the house. That's why it probably was very good music.
Yeah.
He lived next door to the Jackson. He lived next door to the Jackson family. Swear to God.
Must have been a junkie.
No, true story. The people who directed that movie and produced it lived next door to the Jackson family. Is that funny?
He only reveals what he wants you to see and then shows it all. And when he does, he satisfies me.
Reminds Dr. Joe, can you minister some help to this man over here?
Reminds me of Disney films when the music was an integral part of the production.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, old Walt stood by that.
This isn't bad, actually.
You'd want it. Oh, yeah, it is. If he only knew.
Why are you singing it, Putz?
Yeah, later on, Putz, there's a good one. Putz, bad.
That's Yiddish.
Putz is bad, Mensch is good. See? Go figure.
There you go, that's it.
All right. Yeah. And later on.
Unless you say you have a big Putz, then it's okay.
12 o'clock hour, we'll be singing the Gotta Get It On. That's Gotta Get It On, Gotta Get It On. That's another good song for that movie. Oh, yeah. I know the theme.
Now, I had Lemmy from Motorhead give me a song for the John Wayne Bobbitt film called Under the Knife. Is that perfect?
Nice.
Yeah.
You got a guy like from Motorhead, and that's impressive stuff, you know.
John Wayne Bobbitt, genius, by the way.
Absolutely. He was on that show. Were you here then?
May have been. I just remember thinking, boy, this guy's semi-retarded.
He gave advice to people?
He just on the show. I'm not sure he's capable of giving advice.
I don't know if he's capable of putting a sentence together.
He's not. He goes, huh? Well,
I mean, maybe it's a cross between Auctioneer and Einstein before he got his door cut off. But
say,
now,
hi, John. Huh? How are you? Well, the girl's on the phone. Hello? Wow. Huh?
He's yeah, funny. I mean, he's...
I had to direct him in a movie. Imagine what I had to go through.
Holy Christ. I couldn't imagine.
Well, he had sex the same way he speaks, you know. It was tough.
With listen, the Franken,
disjointed Franken penis. Yeah. The second one, Ice-T makes a cameo in that. And the first one was called John Wayne Bobbitt Uncut, which has Lemmy from Motorhead and Vince Neil from Motley Crue made an appearance in those.
Wow. Let me tell you something about but the porn industry, it's sort of like... It's sort of like the lint trap in the dryer, which is, you know, everyone's going to end up there if any bizarre notoriety. You know, you get your dick cut off by your old lady, and 9 months later, you're doing a porn film.
Well, hold on a minute. Metro, the company I work
with.
Now, hold on. Metro Interactive has had people like Snoop Dogg in their films, as has Hustlers had them, as well as Digital Underground, Money B, Cletus. They've had a lot of major rappers.
Yeah, that's true.
They're getting some major performers. See, you know what it is? Because the demographic for rap is older. Because they say a lot of curse words. The rock and roll, rock and roll stars really cannot do, you know, porn because... That's a bad demographic. Kids see rock and roll. But rap is more of an adult type of theme, you know, because the gangsta attitude and the mofos and all the dialogue. So them doing porn is actually not so bad. They even had 50 Cent narrate and help direct a porn film. Sure. And he's the hottest recording artist in America right now.
Rachel.
There you go.
Hello?
You're 18?
That's what it sounded like.
What's up, Rachel?
Hello?
Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
What's going on?
Several things. My mom is kind of a
crazy, I guess.
Yeah.
And I've she's been through a lot of things. Like, she was molested by her brother. She was abused by her father. She was raped, like,
and what's
five
the question?
Times.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Yeah, perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. And I was wondering, like, she used to physically abuse me. And she used to verbally abuse me.
Right.
And, like, within the past year or so, you know, it kind of stood up to her and was like, you know, you
good.
Need to stop that kind of thing.
Good, good, good.
And I was wondering how this She's might crying. Affect me in the future. Or how it might affect my sister.
Trauma is transmitted intergenerationally.
Yeah.
If your parents been trauma, something about that trauma gets transmitted down to you. So you get traumatized by what's happened to them. They traumatize you.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean your life is ruined. It means that you can have issues. It means it can be difficult to find relationships that are stable and intimate. But there's tons of treatment out there for these sorts of
things,
too.
Here's how it ruins your life. It ruins your life when you don't know you have a problem. We have to take a break.
Yeah, I know. I might have problems.
Yeah, well, I'll just go on a positive note. We'll get back, Ron Jeremy here tonight from This Real Life. We'll get back and talk to Rachel a little bit more. But the thing about it is that you can end up stronger. It's like knowing you have a disability, so you work harder.
Right, you become a marathon runner because you had cancer, you overcame it, and now you're going to keep going.
Right.
Shouldn't Rachel see some therapist?
We'll talk.
We'll take a quick break. Ron Jeremy here tonight, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Ron.
Stop. Jeremy. No. Go ahead, Ron. Ron's the one guy I don't mind filling out your crappy thing. Because Ron can write and talk, and he doesn't drift off.
And chew gum, and, you know.
Yeah, he can do anything. He can hump and chew gum.
Play with the ball sack, all that, all at once. Time, you know.
Ron is Ron's here from the Surreal Life, which is on the WB Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, and compelling television. I kid you not. I watched all of last season. I watched the first premiere this season. Excellent. Better than last season, if that's possible.
It's kind of like a sitcom, but we write our own dialogue.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Yeah, it's good. I was, I'm trying to think. Tracy Bingham came across as a cross between a witch and a witch.
She's she's gorgeous.
She's go-
she gets nicer, too, as the shows go on, you know.
She's gorgeous.
You have six episodes, you know.
She's gorgeous in a sort of female cross-dresser kind of way. You know what I mean? Like, Drew has this theory. He thinks Pam Anderson suffers from this, which is female impersonators.
Ron, listen carefully.
No, it's funny. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
When there's a little too much makeup sometimes.
Yeah.
They're trying too hard to look female. So it looks like a guy becoming a female.
Well, they're overstating the feminine qualities to a sort of a caricaturistic.
It's a shame because I've seen Tracy Bingham without makeup on, and she's gorgeous that way too, you know?
Yeah, but
that usually means something.
Yeah, I see. They're trying to overdo the female image sometimes.
Yeah.
It's fetishizing their whole body.
But isn't that like a Hollywood thing, though, in many ways?
Yeah.
A lot of neuroses there.
Yeah.
Big steaming bucket of neuroses.
Oh, she's going to kill me.
No, she's been on the show. We like her.
She's been on the show?
Oh, yeah, a few times.
Was she all dialed up? Is that what you're talking about?
She's one of these women always smells good. Like Ron, if you like a Lavoris and Brute.
Oh, good one. Hi, Karate.
Old Spice.
Aqua Velva.
Well, listen, you're going
to... What's it cost you, $5 in this store?
You put in as much cologne as Ron does, you can't go with the expensive stuff.
And I buy my shoes at Pick-A-Shoe. $1 for a pair of shoes, $2 if they match.
Pick-A-Shoe.
Right. When I take a dollar bill out of my pocket,
the
president's going, oh, daylight.
Maybe Ron could read it.
Ron can. And I'm trying to think of who else on The Surreal Life drove me a little nuts. Vanilla Ice drove me nuts. He seemed like a retard. Everyone else, Ponch came across very nice. You don't like Vanilla Ice very much.
I like him all. No, I like him.
What about when he was?
He has a lot of angst, but see, he's a rapper and he's doing heavy metal now. What musician doesn't have angst and a little hostility?
I just
look at their music. Look at Eminem's music.
I find it ironic that he's crossing out his old pictures when he was wearing what everyone wore in 1990.
He was 16, 17 years old when he did that stuff.
He's dressed. Now he looks exactly like everyone looks in 2004. He doesn't see the subtle irony in that.
A little.
Point that out to
You know, he did Madonna, you know, by the way. He was in her book, the sex book.
Oh,
Ice did Madonna.
He nailed Madonna?
Yeah, that's kind of nice. Yeah, it's in book, her sex book. You've seen it, yeah.
Listen, I've come around on him.
Okay, let me see. Can I read this?
He's a hero. Yeah.
Should I give it some feeling?
Sure.
Yeah.
This is the Cabin Fever promotion.
Mm-hmm.
All callers that get on the air tonight.
Over 18. 18 and over.
All callers over 18 years of age, 18 or over, that get on the air tonight will win a DVD of the movie Cabin Fever, which features a T-shirt with Ron Jeremy's face on it. It's loaded with cast and crew commentaries and lots of special features. It will be available on DVD and video starting January 20th. You will also go into a drawing to win a trip for four to the ultimate ski vacation in Whistler, mm-hmm. which will include airfare, lift tickets, and a cabin, not to be confused with Cabin Fever. Airfare, lift tickets, and a cabin.
Thank you,
an uninfected cabin, yes.
And this is 18 years or over.
You're a total pro.
Yeah.
Most porn stars couldn't pull that off.
Why don't we just...
they pull it off most of the time. That's the problem.
Record that, and let's just play that every time we need to play it.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
I got a pro doing the VO.
Hi, this is Ron Jeremy. Now, if you've seen Cabin Fever...
Rachel?
Hello?
All right, so... poor Rachel, 18 years old. Mom was abused. Mom then abused her. You have a younger sister?
Yeah, she's 8.
How did she know about all this abuse? Did your mom tell her?
She's told me, yeah. We have a very open relationship. Eek.
Well, your mom has some strength and some qualities that allow you to create insight into what's going on with you. But it doesn't diminish, well, it doesn't take away the fact that the trauma will have a lasting effect on your brain development, quite literally.
All right.
And
so,
if you want to do that...
I used to, like, cut myself and
cut,
out.
Yeah. Okay, look, I'm going to...
Well, that's
Rachel,
not good. That's
Rachel.
Not good.
I'm gonna, no, I stopped, and I told her, and she's like, well, you might need some therapy. I was like, yeah, that's fine. I'll go to therapy. And I told her that, you know, well, if I need therapy, you need therapy. And she's like,
yeah, but
well,
don't worry about her.
I'm normal.
Yeah, well, take care of you. Take
your
care
mom's
of you,
an idiot who was victimized.
Thank God she... Listen, mom's supporting you getting therapy. Get therapy.
Yes.
It'll help you integrate all this into a... manageable hole.
And you'll feel better.
And your mom will be your mom and let her be who she is.
Manageable hole was Ron's
and she'll feel better.
400th movie, by the way.
She'll feel better, won't she?
You will.
Yes, she will.
Rachel.
Yeah.
This is Adam, the genius.
Adam,
let me give you
are the genius.
Thank you. Let me give you the keys to victory. A, don't get pregnant.
Of course not.
Because you will screw up your kid before you get fixed up.
Stay in school.
No kids.
B, stay in school. C, don't get any drugs or abuse.
Alcohol.
Abuse, any kind
abuse
of drugs or alcohol or anything like that.
I smoke cigarettes to release stress. That's
fine.
How often?
Don't care.
Hey, Rachel, what's the weather like there in Syracuse?
The weather, it's very cold. It's like -25 wind chill.
They're getting hammered out there.
Yeah.
-25.
It's supposed to get down to like -35.
Is that crazy? Right.
Get some therapy.
Well, I mean, there goes my global warming theory.
You leave in that day in and day out. The north.
Jesus,
nice.
Drew.
You didn't stop being one, Jeremy.
Never stop effing up.
Beg your pardon. Okay. Northeast is getting just hammered right now with the cold and snow.
Yeah, and here's the thing the thing is funny is we have to have novelty hot weather to rub it in their face. I mean, here's the thing. It's one thing if they're just getting brutalized out there and it's just seasonable here. Like, okay, we're in winter. Maybe it's 55 and it's overcast outside. It's hot. Drew, stop punching the mic. Just stop movement.
Solve the problem.
Don't move. That's your problem. Okay, leave. Come on. Just don't touch. Drew punches the mic nightly.
That's how he gets out his aggression? I think it's a great idea.
No, Adam thinks it's a volition.
We should all punch our microphones if it helps us be better people. How am I doing, guys?
It is volitional. It is. You do it on purpose.
To bother you.
It needs
to. So who's this guy, Mike? He keeps beating up.
No, the point is it's thousands of degrees out here. It's like the surface
crazy,
of the sun.
Crazy.
And you know what's really funny is Gore went to New York to deliver a speech on global warming, which is, could there be worse timing?
Irony.
The cab door opens, your feet are spot welded to the sidewalk because it's frozen.
What's funny is the last few winters have been overly warm. There's been very little snow on the East Coast.
Now we're compensating for that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's what weather is.
I thought there was global warming going on, and it could be serious.
The idea of delivering a speech on global warming with everyone in the audience is wearing a
icicles under their nose.
And mucklucks.
And the mustache is frozen.
And a muff. Yeah. And they're it's like.
It's funny.
It does. It's not that it doesn't exist. It's just the timing's a little weak. That's all. All right. You ready to roll here?
Yeah.
Going to speak to Amy, who's 23. Amy.
Warm climate.
San Diego. What's up, baby doll?
First of all, I want to say hi to Ron. We've met before.
Really? Where at?
Yeah. Actually, it was here at Rock 105. It was Rock 105.3.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
And it was peanut butter and jelly. We met before.
Yeah, but this you're listening to us on 91X, I hope.
I know. Yeah, I am.
Yeah. did so we hung out?
We didn't really hang out. I was there for a contest.
Darn.
So, anyhow, it was a while ago. But anyway, my problem.
that I'm calling about. My boyfriend has a smelly penis. He's not circumcised.
Oh, boy.
Never been with that before. It was kind of a little intimidating.
Intimidating.
And we've tried, like, we've taken a shower together, and I've, like, washed it or whatever to see, see if that would help. We've tried Gold Bond. It's not helping.
Washing
can you spell penile parmesan, boys and girls?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Please.
Gonad Gouda. I'm sorry.
The washing is probably less important than the drying. You got to get it, as it were, bone dry.
Okay.
Like, even take out a hair dryer, and handheld hair dryer, and just dry it completely dry.
Okay.
And some of that smell is from the moisture, the bacteria that grow in moisture, and you got to keep the thing just pulled back and dry.
What about, like, antifungal things? Like, you know, the stuff athletes put.
Yeah, but the fungus aren't the smell. It's anaerobic bacteria.
Yeah, but a shot
plus
of that.
Plus, it's going to be going into her body eventually. Is it another?
Yeah, you can actually. Quick rinse in the sink before you drop it in. You know what I'm saying?
Does he actually have an odor? What, after he comes out of a shower?
Even in the shower.
Amy?
As a matter of fact, last night, yes.
Okay, oh, my goodness. Here's the whole thing.
I promise, you know, it's like he wants me to go down on him, and it smells, right, and I'm very, very, very sensitive to smell, more than most people.
That would actually work if she puts, like, a nose pin, puts nose clips over her nose.
There is a guy.
You know when you go swimming in a pool, they got those little nose clips?
What? Yeah, well, okay, listen. Do what Drew says and do the dry thing.
That'll do it.
Clean it off real good, and then pull the foreskin back and hit it with the blow dryer.
Really?
So it's unnaturally dry.
And don't make the mistake I did. I used a hot comb attachment. Just use the air.
That's interesting, because, you know, with a circumcised schmeckle, you know that... even if it's a little bit wet, it's never a problem. You come out of a shower and you're all you're a little bit wet. There's never an odor problem.
No folds. The bacteria live in the folds.
Well, I know it's interesting, guys. This is a true story, and you're going to love this. That Jews got circumcised until, like, during World War II and up till, like, the late 40s. Then after the 40s, all Americans started getting circumcised around 1949. Christians, Jews, blacks all started getting circumcised, which means 1949 is the cutoff date. Oh, come on, folks. Tip the waitress. Have a safe drive home. But actually, that is true, though.
True. That
really is true, though, that... True. In 1949, all Americans got circumcised.
When did Ron Jeremy become Shecky Green?
True.
When did that happen?
But
that
is true, though. What was I saying to you?
Isn't it weird that all Americans do it before it was all Jews?
Adam was walking down the hall and said, Jew trumps everything. Okay, explain what you meant by that.
Here's what I meant. Rabbi Shmuley comes in here. That's Michael Jackson's right-hand.
Spiritual advisor.
Yeah, that's
before he decided he was Islam.
And basically, he's got a yarmulke and a big set of lips so he can kiss Michael's ass, right? But he's a rabbi. Okay.
A smart guy.
I mean, smart in sense he's got a high IQ.
I know you differentiate different kinds of smart.
He's a blowhard. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. But anyway, Rabbi Shmuley comes in here, and Rabbi Shmuley can't stop telling jokes. Rabbi Shmuley can't stop telling long-winded stories. Rabbi Shmuley can't stop being Jewish and not a rabbi. And what I'm saying is you know, in Catholicism or Christianity, you don't expect a preacher to come up there and start with a motor mouth telling jokes. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or to represent something that would be...
You don't expect a porn star... I mean, let's face it. You bring most male porn stars in here, they can barely string a sentence together.
But you also couldn't tell what ethnicity or cultural background.
They're not telling hackney jokes. Yeah, here's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is, what could be, you know, man of the cloth, porn star, but yet Jew trumps both of those with the bad jokes and the nonstop stories. No,
some of them are funny jokes.
Not bad jokes.
Just jokes.
And the Yiddish, and the Yiddish words.
I'm just saying. And I know this doesn't sound as flattering as it's meant to be, but it really is. I was just walking to the bathroom through. I said, Jew trumps everything.
Now, like, your name is Corolla, so are you Italian?
Yeah, I'm Italian.
Well, an Italian is simply a Jew with a job. So,
yeah, but Italian's kind of a stupid Jew. They're not as smart. The Jews are smarter people.
You hire Jews to run your businesses, that's all.
Yeah, well, we know who shows up and gets the work done. Erica, I mean, not the manual stuff, but the calculations. Erica?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah, hey.
What's up, baby doll?
My parents have recently been going through the feud of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only girl of five, five kids, and I'm a twin.
Okay, what's up?
I have a twin brother.
We go. You're calling from Sylmar?
Yeah.
Yeah, it means your brothers are going to be criminals.
No. Actually, My oldest brother, he's in Anaheim. He's had a baby girl. Mm-hmm. My other brother, he's in San Jose right now, and he married the daughter of a drummer from some Mexican band.
That's criminal. Yeah.
They're pretty famous, like, everywhere. If you, like, stop a Mexican and say, hey, do you know, blah, 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 they'll be Jaguares. Like, oh, my God.
Hold on.
Banda Macho.
Our engineer, Chris, is Mexican. Let me stop him. Stop that. What's the name of the band?
Los Tigres del Norte.
The Northern Tigers?
Good. Yeah. Chris Mexican, yes? Never heard of him.
Oh, no.
I just stopped a Mexican and never heard of him. Go back to doing what you were doing.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, Erica, what is the question?
Well, what I want to know is I'm kind of stuck in the middle. My parents make me the messenger.
Yeah, it's not okay.
Yes.
You got to not take, don't take that role. Don't let them stick you there. That's it.
Yeah, the thing is, it's like, it goes even more beyond. It's like the reason kind of like my mom and my dad were married for 25 years. And throughout the whole marriage, my dad cheated on my mom with different women. Mm. And I was very close to my dad, and I do consider myself more close to him.
Yeah, but now you resent him.
But you're going to find a guy like that to be with.
Ooh. But he just kind of like, he does stuff to hurt me, and I keep going back. And my mom, she sees that. And there is an event that happened my freshman year. When he was cheating on her, my brother came from the Navy because right now he's in Japan. Mm-hmm. And we were all here. My mom had to work. My dad was spending Christmas with his other lady who has a kid.
And Mexican dads, you know, they got it right.
Yeah, I know.
Jewish guy couldn't get away with that.
No, this is not a typical Mexican dad.
Am I wrong? Letting a child know this is horrifying.
Yes.
A parent to cheat is one thing, but letting a kid see it is a nightmare and a horrible thing to do.
Parentalizing a child is always damaging.
Because they're damned either way. If you hold a secret, the other one will get mad that you never told me. And if you do rat the secret out, then they're going to hate you because, you know, you told on me.
Erica.
You're damned either way.
Here's what you do. You behave yourself. You keep your family together for a little while. Pay a little attention.
You never let the kids know that you're doing that. That's a horror. That's a horror.
Houses. We had two houses before, and we lost them because...
All right, what is the question, Eric?
Yeah, no luck. I don't care what the question is. Here's the deal.
Stay away from everybody.
Your dad's...
Oh, that's good advice.
No, yeah, stay away.
Here's the thing. You're 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're smart.
Yeah.
You're just like your brothers did. You go away somewhere.
Right.
You go to school. You spend your time at school. You make sure your grades are good. You have your friends you hang out with. You go to your cheerleading practice or your band practice. You come home at night. You do a little studying, and you go to bed.
And, Erica, I'm going to put one more caveat in this. If you are super attracted to a guy, do not go out with him.
Yes.
Do you understand why I'm saying that? Because you are going to be super attracted because you were so close to dad, and that kind of person is what you love. That's your idea of a love relationship. You're going to be super attracted to guys that will recreate your relationship with your dad.
Yeah.
Go out with guys that are a little more boring, not quite so exciting, that you can actually have real intimacy with because you've never had that because your dad's not available for it.
Yeah. And dads are...
That's a tall order. That's tough.
It is tough.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is.
That takes a lot of willpower.
Yeah. Or get therapy.
You should tell your...
But if she's pretty, finding guys is not going to be a problem, so you could be that specific.
There'll be a curse for her, though.
Yeah.
Because she'll all be just sort of hanging
around. And listen, parents, don't share a bunch of intimate things with your kids.
Not their business.
I got to tell you one thing, my parents, they were smart. My dad...
Never talked.
He never cheated. He never carried on. He didn't have a gambling problem. He didn't do anything. But he still played it safe and didn't talk to his kids. He was that good a
he
parent.
He played it extra safe. I don't think he ever, like, got up off the chair, did he?
He's that good a father.
Yeah.
Somebody must have told him, don't talk to the kids.
Yeah,
play
don't
it
walk.
Safe.
You could get unstable.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
something may slip.
Yeah, right.
Could be very done. Smart. All right. Let's talk to Sarah.
Yeah.
I tried to have anal sex. Ron, how'd you get into the porn business?
Well, that was a heck of a segue.
All right.
Because I did a lot of theater in New York. I quit teaching. I have a master's. I taught, then I quit to do theater.
You taught?
Job market was special ed, retarded children. A bachelor's.
Did you teach high school for a while or something?
They say that. It's a mistake on the internet. I had a BA in theater, a BA in education, taught elementary school. Then I got a master's in special ed and taught retarded kids upstate New York. Then Catskills. Crystal Run School.
I told you.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like having sex with that many kids?
Oh, that is just wrong. Oh. It was very nice, thank you. No, you're crazy. And then I quit to do theater off Broadway and then got my equity card, stage, and then I was approached to do porn. I did Playgirl magazine October 1978.
Now, how did you get approached? Who approached you?
Because a guy named Joe. I did a Playgirl magazine, and they asked, you know, you want to do a movie?
Why did you play? How did you get approached to Playgirl?
I did Playgirl because I was doing a comedy show. My ex-girlfriend sent a picture of me into Playgirl magazine, a guy next door section, and they used it.
This is the male version of, I never want to be a model. I was a tomboy.
Oh, I didn't mind. I know that she was doing
right?
it.
And right? And somebody sent in, put my name in for a contest that I won.
She put it in. I thought they were going to bring me in for a layout, but they used that photo instead, the Polaroid. Mm-hmm. And they used a real name, too, which is pretty funny. That's why my grandma had to move out of the house. My dad goes, look, if you want to use to get in this crazy business, change your damn name. So I used my middle name, which is Jeremy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so then I was approached.
What is your last name?
Ron Jeremy Hyatt's full name.
You know? Hyatt?
Yes, that's full name, yeah. So that appears on a lot of mainstream films, right? They didn't want the Jeremy name in there.
Oh, really?
Ronan and Reindeer Games.
Hyatt?
Like, I was cut from them, but the name Hyatt appears in both credits. I was a prisoner in Reindeer Games, and I was a fishmonger in Ronan, the Robert De Niro film, yeah.
Wow.
So a lot of credits. But anyway, so what happened was, I saw how bad the job market was for actors, and a lot of directors were doing both. Like Chuck Vincent was doing both porn and mainstream. So if you like my work, he'll put me in the mainstream film, which he did. So he put me in a film with Chris Lemon, Jack Lemon's son, called COD. And I got into the Screen Actors Guild, and from there I was doing both mainstream and porn.
Wow. When you were working, are you semi-retired now?
I have a contract with a company called Metro Interactive, because they make the best movies, so I'm hooked up with them. Mm-hmm. So I work a lot less, because they pay you to be exclusive.
Right. What do they pay you a year?
I don't like to discuss that because there are a lot of contract people out there.
Let me just say this. Companies. Whatever it is, I'll double you to stop. I'll double whatever that price is.
Oh, direct, that is wrong.
I'll double it to stop.
Oh, that is just wrong.
Please.
Well, a lot of what I do is representing them on the road.
Right.
A lot of what a contract is not having sex, but just, you know, doing dialogue scenes or, you know, we have a line called Ron Jeremy on the Loose where I go to different towns. And, you know, I have young couples, you know, put on sex scenes in limousine or whatever.
Yeah, I saw the Viva Ron Vegas.
That was the one. That was one, yeah.
That's nice. Who are those twins?
Are they cute?
Oh, my God. Ron was sad.
The Texas nice. Twins. Yeah. Oh, you didn't mind seeing that.
Great hot.
My clothes were off for that.
Yeah, maybe.
Once in a while, it's okay.
All right.
So then, you know, you represent the company on the road. You know, you go to video stores and you represent them. So that's what the contract's all about.
Is the industry bigger now than it's ever been?
Yes.
Was it bigger 10 years ago?
It's growing all the time because of the internet, because of satellite.
What do you think the industry nets a year?
They say it's an $8 billion business.
$8 billion.
$4 billion is on rentals of DVDs and VHSs.
Wow. Yeah.
$8 billion.
And that's billion.
They say it's bigger than the recording industry and bigger than the sports industry.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's billion.
The adult industry, that includes all adult. That's adult industry. $8 billion business.
Wow.
The internet made it possible for the girls to get rich, too, because a lot of them now go right from themselves to a consumer. You don't need a video store. You don't need a producer, director, exhibitor, just you and the public. And if you study how to do your own web work, you become a graphic artist like Asia Carrera did or like a lot of the girls did. Mm-hmm. You know, Tabitha Stevens did. Danny Ash did, but she doesn't do porn.
Right.
They hire their own webmasters to do it themselves, their own graphics. Mimi Miyagi does her own graphics, so they can keep all the money to themselves.
Sure.
And a lot of girls are becoming millionaires. You never saw that years ago.
No.
A lot of porn stars are becoming millionaires.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying Jenna Jameson's five times over.
Yeah.
You know?
What?
Five times a million. She's a, you know.
Five millionaire.
Yeah. So a lot of girls are doing really, really well.
Yeah. You know? All right. I think
the internet's partially responsible.
Though. That's
yeah.
That was unheard of back in the days of Linda Lovelace.
Yeah. Know? I mean, those
what
girls.
What happened to her?
She passed away. You know?
She just died recently.
Was it a car accident or something? She had problems with her liver. I'm not sure. But you know what's weird?
I got a car accident.
I hear alcoholism.
I don't know,
problem with her liver.
No, Linda,
but it's weird is that she got almost back in the biz to some extent. After knocking it and insulting it for so many years, she did a layout for Hustler's Leg Show. Or not, some magazine called Leg Show. She did like a skimpy layout.
Linda Lovelace became like a born-again Christian and said that she was forced, like drugged and forced to do all the scenes and started thumping the Bible and then bashing the porn industry and I think got in a car accident about a year ago.
But the weird thing is she was bashing the porn business, you know, with that book Ordeal and the feminists. Like I think Andrea Dworkin and McKinnon had her on the road. Then she says right before she died that she was a Dworkin and McKinnon were kind of using her too. She was used by the feminists and she did a layout for Leg Show, which is a skimpy magazine.
I'm remembering
now,
when that movie came out, I was in college, And my college set up a viewing of the film in a big classroom.
Your college? Deep yeah. Throat?
Yes.
You mean?
It was the Department of Psychology set up. It had been out about a year, and they said, we're going to have a viewing. About 300 kids
showed up. Of course, you want to know the psychological repercussions of deep-throating somebody.
Yeah, but they were viewing it like there was the Zapruder tapes or something. It's like, this is bizarre to think about that historical context.
Did you feel a rise in your Levi's?
Of course, but it was novelty. It was like, what? This in a
Drew that's popped a boner in class. All right.
A boner back then and a polyp more recently.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Ron Jeremy here. Porn star? Yes.
Thank you.
Jew first. Ron is here representing the Surreal
Life. A Jew.
Oh, excuse me. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Music cues, I sues on blues, I cues on blues on
Cusack. R-O-N, that's who I be, for those who can't spell Ron Jeremy. Been figuring right before they made Ecstasy, Dennis Huff gave me the extra key, so I call up Polo, he called G, let's go to the Bunny Ranch, 1, 2, 3. As soon as I step up to the door, let's get buck naked, do it on the floor with a sexy young lady that I adore. When she's exhausted, I look for more. Then in the jacuzzi, I find four. Thank you, Daddy D, no, that's a score. American and African and two Jamaican, if you give it to me, girls, I'll be partaking. Just a freak of the week, there's no mistaking. See me hanging, see me singing from a hammock tied to a tree, seven hotties with the bodies all over me. I never said I was a teenage hunk, but I made a lot of dough with my tree trunk.
Way to go, B!
Way to go, R.
That was the Bunny Ranch video song. We did that for VH1. I got three rap songs out. One's Casablanca. One was actually a hit, Freak of the Week. Came out in 97 with DJ Polo and Ice-T.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was on Billboard. I showed it to you. Billboard chart 27 weeks. I showed it to you.
Yes, you did.
You know, in fact, I think you guys played it once, I think.
Does, where has Ron not wet his beak over the years?
As it were.
As it were.
In the ministry. I was never a rabbi.
You could easily be one. All right, we will go back to the phones. Ron Jeremy here tonight, a veteran of 1,700 adult films. Now, do you have to orgasm to count as one?
Yeah, I think you will. 1,700 films. I might have done dialogue. That's just an average. I might have done two in some movies and maybe just done dialogue in another.
Mm-hmm. So usually, I'd say you don't have to.
It's pretty close. Probably did orgasm 1,700 times, yeah.
Okay, enough to lay a two-lane rope from here to...
Me and Gene Simmons both told Barbara Walters, we both were on the show The View a few weeks apart, we both said between 4,000 and 5,000 women in our entire life.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, he's a rock star. He gets girls because he's a rock star. Me, there's a paycheck.
Yeah. Gene Simmons seems like a colossal a-hole, by the way.
He really is not.
He is.
He can speak very good Yiddish because I think he's born in Israel.
Wow.
He's a very, very intelligent guy, as you know, and he has a very good relationship with Shannon Tweed.
Yeah.
He preaches what I preach, that you can be non-monogamous physically and be monogamous emotionally.
Yeah, seems like a
not everyone's cup of tea, but you know,
he seems marginally.
Dr. Drew doesn't buy this one. I don't think I'm not going to make converts here.
Mm-hmm. All right,
I mean, people are welcome to try, but I've seen it just.
I've seen it work. I've seen swingers who live centuries. I mean, have great relationships.
Two sex addicts. I've seen two sex addicts in their disease go for quite a while like that.
And then, great!
And then the S hits the fan eventually.
S hits the fan. Yeah. Okay.
Come on. Ron's been riding this wave for 30 years.
No, Ron's fine. I'm not crapping on Ron. He's great.
Hey, but Ron,
it's the lifestyle he's talking about.
What about the kids? What about
and
the
by the way,
commitment?
If it did work, I have no issue.
I understand that.
Do you want kids?
Yes. I think I kind of want kids, yes.
That you know about?
I mean, well, the standard joke is, the thing is, I have no one's ever claimed it, and this is actually very humorous if we think about it. I have the one occupation that might protect me. When someone gets well-known or gets famous, someone comes out of the woodwork saying, look, here's your baby, and they sue you for child support up to age 18. But me, picture some girl living out of the back of Kentucky Fried Chicken garbage dump, eating, you know, oh, there's meat on this one, you know, eating bones, and they go, you know, they see me on TV, think, I bet he's got money. Kids, you see that guy doing that double... A backflip, you know, sex scene. That's your forget it. We'll stay poor. Well, I figured they'd tell their mom. Ma, it wasn't the rabbi. The guy that fathered my child is a poor. Forget it. I'll stay poor.
How do you know? How do you?
They don't want to admit it.
Yeah, but how do you know your sperm's any good? Because you know, the funny is, all over the town.
I got to actually check.
No one's pregnant.
It's funny. It's funny you're saying that. Yeah. A cousin of mine is actually a specialist in San Francisco who works with
fertility specialist.
Right, and he said that men should check. They say when you get into your 40s, mm-hmm.
He's going to tell us he's got the highest sperm count in San Francisco.
No, I mean, and you really can't go by hairy body or testosterone. No. It's a whole separate. People say, you're full of virility. It doesn't really mean that.
Yeah. Right.
So I mean, I might not be able to give birth unless.
Or you haven't been tested.
No, I might need the help of modern science where they take they do it automatically.
Well, the good news is
you don't like that process.
You know, I do, but we've sort of been
gotta be real careful, right?
Well, no, it's we've come to rest too comfortably upon it as though it's going to work, but it is a very low probability of working. It can work,
and doctors have to be really careful to take the most active sperm. Mm-hmm. You don't want to take some loser. Right. I mean, because in the old days, the best one won the race.
That's right.
Now, if they're pulling a needle out and putting it into the egg, they might pick out the dumb one or the bad one. You want to take out the most active. Look at the one who's really running around a nutcase.
Well, he's making an interesting point.
I never thought about that.
That is an interesting point. Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of rock stars and rap stars, TV stars, do it this way because they can't be in town the exact few days that their wife is fertile. So they do it this new fashion.
Well, that may be with artificial insemination.
That's what they're doing.
That's a turkey baster thing.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're talking about actually getting the sperm concentrated and picking out good
smacking
sperm.
Yes, smacking it right into the egg. Yeah.
Wow. All right. So if you're going to do it that way, I mean, the way it is now, you shoot millions of sperm.
The best man wins.
Yeah,
right.
The best man wins.
This newfangled way, they're picking the best man.
But we don't know is the best man the guy that's able to penetrate the egg, or the guy that's able to make his way up to the egg, or both.
Right. Mm-hmm. Plus, you can also
you still got the guy that's going to penetrate the egg that makes it.
Yeah. You could pick guy or girl too.
Either way,
you can pick out if you want a guy or a girl.
Just a tip. You coming on the forehead is not the way to do it. You got to go in the vagina.
Yes, now he tells me.
I learned that from the show.
Oh, yeah. Now
I've been working in Africa. It took quite a while to get him around.
Has to go in the vagina.
Yeah. I've watched I've seen your work. It's on the ass.
No
on
wonder.
The forehead, it's on the back. It's on the coaster. It's everywhere.
So if I placed it right, I'd have a child in every state, including the state of despair.
Placed it right.
You got to place it right. Right. So, Ron, let me tell you what Ron
Now
does.
He tells. Where were you 20 years ago?
He's with these beautiful young women. But right at the end, he pulls it out. He starts talking. And pow, next thing you know, it's all over the belly. And it's not in the vagina. I've seen it a thousand times.
The worst thing in the world? When you're doing a scene with another guy and a girl, like a threesome. Mm-hmm. And the guy's always on top because maybe I'm a little larger. Mm-hmm. He takes it out first and he winds up getting his kids on my leg.
Yeah. Ooh,
saying, you get those guys off or I'm going to put them through college. Ugh. Get those things off my leg. It is disgusting.
Yeah, and when you're covered with as much hair as Ron is, that stuff ain't going in.
Oh, gosh.
It's not going anywhere.
Oh, that's a nice visual.
It's
thanks.
Still on you.
Well, that'll sell
it
tapes.
It'll come out. It's there.
Oh, that's great. Thanks.
Out.
Peanut butter and a carpet.
Yeah. Not coming out.
I never saw Dr. Drew this glib.
All right. Yeah, Drew.
I think we can bring out the best in him. What do you think?
Well, let me explain something to Drew with the threesomes and stuff.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about the sperm. It is spin the wheel of destiny when it comes to what direction it's going to come out and what thickness, what height.
This is more than he needs to know.
Here's what I'm saying. Guy. Sperm coming out perfectly, all uniform. All of a sudden, one load, pow, right in the eye, just goes sailing off the side like a tracer bullet.
That can happen. It's not the guy's fault. Girls get pissed at the guy
whatever.
Too for that.
We're
not doing it on purpose.
When you're doing a threesome and the guy next to you is finishing first,
more
could be your forehead.
More conjunctiva to get the
conjunctivitis.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, pink eyes.
Yeah, enough,
Sarah.
Enough,
yeah. Sarah. Yeah. That's what I say. Feh. Sarah, you're 19. What's up?
Tell me about the ocean again.
We bring out the best,
crap
Dr.
The
Drew.
Crap in the ocean.
Gekaken afen yamen nevishtaim tachas metachavalias. That he enjoys.
Yeah.
Who doesn't enjoy that?
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, I'll tell
a
you.
Jew.
I'll tell you. Loves it. Those brain dead, coked up 19-year-olds, Ron's banging the bejesus out of him.
Ron, read this real quick.
God.
Just read this.
Okay, here we go.
We don't have to do it again,
last
do we?
Time, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
We don't. Ron's going to do it for us.
I like doing a commercial break for you guys. I feel special.
Thanks.
Cabin Fever Promotion. All callers 18 years and over that get on the air tonight will win a DVD of the movie Cabin Fever, featuring a T-shirt with Ron Jeremy on it. It's James DeBello, the bad guy, wears it. That's true.
Yeah.
It's loaded with cast and crew commentaries, lots of special features. It'll be available on DVD and video starting January 20th. You'll also go into a drawing to win a trip for four, not one, not two, four to the ultimate ski vacation in Whistler. Where's Whistler?
It's British Columbia. It's fantastic.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Which will include airfare, lift tickets, and the cabin. and is signed underwear by Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
You know, just
that's right.
How many of our
18 years and over.
How many of our listeners have passports?
None.
Think about that.
Wait a minute. To go to Canada? I heard you don't always have to have one.
You're flying in and out.
Okay. All right, buddy. Relax over there. Thank you, Ron.
If they don't qualify for skiing, can they take a kayak trip on some river instead of something in America?
You're a total pro, Ron, by the way.
Thank you.
Sarah?
Well done.
Yes, you're 19?
Yes, I am.
All right. So you tried to have anal sex.
Right.
And with two guys.
Not at the same time.
Right.
Two guys.
Good to know.
Leave that to the pros. Yeah. That's right. And you couldn't relax.
I can't get it down. I don't know if I'm doing
it wrong. Why are you trying
What
so?
Does he have to? How old are you?
Yeah, 19. Why are you trying so diligently to do something you don't
like? The guy wants to.
I do want
two
to.
Two guys.
I do want to.
But why do you want to do something that's not pleasant?
Well, because I heard that it felt good.
Yeah, but it's not feeling good to you. That's reality. It's not feeling good.
Oh, so, I mean, because I just thought that maybe I couldn't do it right. Or maybe.
Are you bored with vaginal sex?
I'm sorry?
Do you enjoy vaginal sex?
This is Ron Jeremy confused why you would continue to try this thing.
I know. I should hang up do you enjoy vaginal sex?
Yes, I do.
Do you feel the need to experiment right now, or can you wait a few years?
This is back to your Porsche thing again.
Yes.
This is back to the Porsche.
The guys really want to try it, or it's not that important to them?
Well, I mean, yeah, and I want to try it, and I'm not doing it just for them.
There are ways I could teach them how to do it better right now on the air, but the thing is, it's,
really?
You know, yeah, there are things, there are tricks to it.
Well, like, no.
Okay, I'll tell you, first of all.
But Ron, not your forte in the movies, no. Is it?
I do a lot of that, I've done
you
a lot
do?
Of that. It's not my favorite thing to do, unless the girl really likes it.
Let Drew smell.
First of all, she's 19 years old.
Let Drew smell your pecker, by the way, because I don't believe you.
The more you have sex, of course, the more she has normal sex, right. Like it's vaginal sex, the more her muscles are relaxed, and anal sex will be a little easier.
Oh, really?
First of all, the best position to start out in is with your elbows are on the ground. And your rear end is the highest point of gravity. It's the highest point. That way the insides open up a little bit.
Really?
It creates a little bit of a space.
Because
then the guy's not pushing his skin quite as much, which causes pain.
Mm-hmm.
So have your elbows on the ground and your rear end totally up in the air in doggy position.
You can't get your elbows on the ground.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Oh, you mean you got to be
on your
knees.
Yes, the girl's elbows, yes.
Yes, knees
get on the knees.
The guy has to have sex with you first in the vagina. You
Why?
Follow?
Why?
Because it relaxes her.
I see.
You know, and a vibrator doesn't hurt either. On the clitoris. And then after you have some normal sex with the vagina.
Slow down.
While the guy's doing vaginal sex with you, honey, you still listening?
Right, yeah.
He should try one finger first, lubricated in the rear end, while he's doing the vagina. Mm-hmm. And see how you feel. Uh-huh. If that's too painful, then stop. Because, you know, if you can't take that much.
Hold
if you're okay,
hold on a second,
you try two
Ron.
Fingers.
Hold on,
yes.
Hold on. Now, is that a tablespoon or a teaspoon of KY? Am I trying to write here?
Now you got your second finger.
It's a dash. Adam, a dash.
Then,
okay.
And
dash.
Once you handle the two fingers, mm-hmm. and you all stimulate, make sure you're excited.
Dash,
like, vibrator on vibrator on the clitoris,
mm-hmm.
a penis in the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you feel that the two fingers are okay, and you're comfortable so far,
mm-hmm.
and you're all well lubricated, and you're turned on, and you're excited. It's very important to be excited.
Two fingers in the ass.
It's good because that's the width of a man. That's, you know, the width of a penis.
Right.
So now, if you're still turned on, remember, you want to stay excited because your muscles can relax more when you're excited. If you're not enjoying it, it's a problem.
Right.
Then if everything is going smoothly, the guy can take out his two fingers, take out the penis, and then put the penis in the rear end, again, up and over. He has to stand up almost. See, rear end is the highest point. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So there's a little space mm-hmm. there.
You can see your hands.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm. If I was saying
defunct some of the issue things about hands and
hey, you're packing
right?
there, Dr. Drew. You're packing.
Yeah, but Drew, you got
Dr. Drew's got big hands. He's been hiding out. He's been hiding on all of us, folks. He's been holding back.
But
he's packing.
Drew, you got a Pine Mountain log between your legs too. What are you talking about?
So Cedar, have you tried this way before?
Drew's peckered
and remember,
airport.
A lot of girls. Here's the problem. A lot of guys want to go right to there. Like, what were the problems that you faced? The guys wanted to go right to the rear end.
Well, like, I was probably positioning wrongly. I was.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he tried it from, we're laying side by side.
That can work, but this is better because when you go with gravity, remember, when you're doing doggy position, your insides are sucking down with gravity, so there's a little hole there to begin with.
You go with gravity.
So it's much easier.
Go with God.
And here's the most important thing of all. Let the guy put in the very tip, and then you do the work. Let the girl, you back up to what you feel comfortable. He can't be doing the work. You have to.
Right.
So let him put his thing against the tip, and you back up into him, and that's the trick.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And now, I've known I had to be relaxed. I just don't
enough,
know.
Enough.
Sarah. You must be relaxed.
Sarah. All right. Yeah. Now, Sarah. Uh-huh. Sarah.
Doesn't work if you're not relaxed.
I want you to...
Pray to Jesus.
No. I want you to... we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And we're going to come back with you, and I want you to repeat what Ron told you to do, just to make sure you digested all of it, all right?
I have to,
Ron,
I have to
no
room.
Helping.
I must leave the room.
All right, Sarah?
All right, pray to God for salvation, that's all I can say.
You're turning religious now.
Tips for Great Anal by Ron Jeremy, also in the Surreal Life on the WB, 9 o'clock.
And there was no Sunday anal, night. There was no anal on the Surreal Life.
Very little anal this season.
You'll find anal in Metro tapes.
It's the only disappointing thing about this year. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, and now more helpful anal tips.
I forgot one thing I totally forgot.
Get Sarah.
I forgot one more thing that I didn't tell the girl. That is that, and this is one of the hardest things a person should do, and it also helps us when we get a prostate check, right, is that she should push out.
Push out.
Because when you suck in, it'll be a lot more pain. You have to push out, almost like you're going to the bathroom. That way the man's penis can fit. Now, a girl will say, but if I push out, I'm afraid I'll make a mess. Mm-hmm. But you won't, because your rear end is the highest part. You know, it's up in the air, so you won't make a mess.
I think. Adam,
see, that's why whenever a girl has to go, whenever a girl feels a little uncomfortable, and a director in a porn film has her riding the guy, say you're a blithering idiot. That's the biggest way to make a mess.
Right.
You know, let the girl's rear end be the top part, and you go straight down on the girl, like up and over position.
Right.
Then if she does push out, there won't be any mess because gravity won't allow it.
Right.
So that's the biggest thing. I forgot to tell it to the girl. Push out.
Yeah, but
while you glide on it,
let me explain about gravity. It can be overcome. Like, see my arm right now.
Right.
See, now I'm lifting my arm. I've just defied gravity.
Correct.
You understand? Now pretend my arm is a dookie. Ready?
That's hard.
Hear it? Up.
No.
Defy gravity. I can move it up. Drew,
but
look
forgot.
At me. Watch this.
First of all, the girl
stand up. You ready?
Oh, wait, get
ready?
The point.
Ready?
Oh, my God. It's a miracle.
You know how I did it?
How?
I pushed.
The girl should also, you know, be clean.
Sure.
And not push out that hard. Yeah,
I see.
The guy's penis will get in the way anyway, so nothing could...
But
the,
I don't
the dookie can't go anywhere.
I don't use my joint as an S-cork.
Yeah, basically, that's what it is. You know, no dookie because the penis gets in the way of the dookie.
Call it an S-cork. Okay, now let's get back with Sarah. She wanted to have anal sex. And
she follow all this?
Well, let's see. Now, no tip, no help now, Ron.
I won't say a word.
Sarah?
Yes.
All right, now, let's give the big beats, because Professor Ron told you how to engage in anal, and I want you to make sure that you got it all down. Go ahead.
Film at 11.
Okay. What I want to do is, like, position myself, like, up in the air. Not myself, but, you know, and then him come up and over.
Now, what's your position?
Like, doggy style.
Correct.
Yeah.
But, you know, me being more up in the air and him... coming over, and first I want to relax myself by having vaginal sex and maybe clitoral stimulation, and then that would
Yeah. Maybe a vibrator helps too.
Sure.
And maybe that would relax me some more, because I'm having a hard time being relaxed. And then push out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then let him in.
And you do the work.
Right.
All right, now you okay?
You forgot the finger.
Typical love line
the preparation.
Fashion,
you forgot the fingers.
Shouldn't bring up the most important part of it.
What?
Which is,
the guy should wear a rubber.
No one's dumber.
Save
than our
sex,
nobody.
Anal sex is also risky. I mean, for diseases. So
thank you.
Make sure there's a rubber being used. Unless both of them go for AIDS tests.
Sarah, remember the whole two finger.
Every time for the Trojan, that's it.
Remember the two finger thing?
Yeah.
Okay, better.
It's to warm you up first before the penis goes in there. You know?
But she's not worried about what the guy needs to do. So
I
forgot about that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, condoms for that one.
Ron will not rest until every teenager in America has been sodomized.
No. I mean, it was not your cup of tea, you know, anything. I found it fun only when the girl was... Forget about porn. Mm-hmm. Before I ever got into porn, I mean, I liked it only if the girl liked it. If it was just to do it for me, I'd say, I like vaginas.
You had sex before porn?
Yeah, a little. And you look at the figure, oh, he couldn't have.
For free? Nobody paid you?
Some girl actually.
What an insult.
And the girl wasn't paid either. But, I mean, if the girl really liked it, it was fun. If the girl didn't like it, I didn't really need it. It's yeah. a really a turn on. If the girl likes it, then it's a turn on. You know, like The Bad Place, The Final Frontier. It could be nasty, but Ron, otherwise, you know.
Ron brings up a very valid point, which is guys are constantly trying to talk girls and doing stuff they don't want them to do. It's sort of like dragging them to a movie they don't want to see. Who wants to sit next to somebody with their arms crossed with a puss on for 2 hours? You know what I'm saying?
Sam Kennison had a great way of saying this. The comedian, he'd say, you know, the girl goes, you could do this, 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 but not this. That's the first thing you now want to do.
Yeah.
You know, she hadn't said anything, you know.
Absolutely. Dean?
She yeah. She went to the theater mad, too, by the way.
Yes. What's Dean, up? You're 20.
We'll not let you forget it. What's up, guys?
What's happening?
No, I'm just sitting around touching myself right now.
Right.
No, stop right. it. Stop it. What is going on?
Did that anal conversation get you going?
Oh no, not too much.
The girl had a sexy voice, and she repeated how to do it.
But remember, Dean, two fingers and lots of lube if you're going to touch yourself.
What's oh, yeah. beat off?
Go ahead.
No, I'm a dry man like you. Maybe a little.
What, Dean? What'd you call about, dude?
Oh, I called to talk about Adam or talk to Adam and Ron about a little bit of rambling.
Mm-hmm.
And having a you guys should have like the first XXX like rambling mini series. It'd be great.
From yours to Warner Brothers' ears.
How does it go?
Oh, okay, this is how it starts. Adam would be his name starting off would be Neinhard, and he was in the war, and you were his best friend, and your name would be Benjamin. And
Benjamin.
Benjamin. Right. Adam was trapped in the war, and Ron started to get on his girl back home, and he was dead.
That's patriotic of me.
Yeah, so.
All right, I'm bored. Next. We should never, ever talk to anyone who calls this show with any kind of idea. They're always horrible.
I had a fun of me doing your girl while you're over fighting a war.
That's cool.
Imagine you're a television executive having to listen to crap.
I got to draw
honey,
the line.
Honey, Adam's away in a war, so why don't you eat this while we're waiting for him to get back?
I got to draw the line with the anal, though, and my girl. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Adam's in the war right now, honey. Can you take these two fingers and put them someplace?
I've seen a lot of Ron's films. I haven't seen much anal. Maybe it's I choose not to.
I did a lot in my younger days. I did a lot more when I was younger. I did a lot of Swedish erotica. Used to almost save me with some of the anal scenes. I figured I was pretty good at it, so I used to break some of them in, you know.
Right. Oh, I mean, yeah, Ron.
There really is an important technique to doing it. Plus, you know, and the important thing I forgot also to say, but it's not really her concern, is that the guy doesn't have to put the whole thing in. You know, like when a girl. I mean, the guy doesn't have to. You know that, right?
Yeah. No.
The girl, because it's a lot more uncomfortable there than other places. So, the guy can just put the tip in.
Right.
It's like they used to call me just the tip, Jeremy, and just to go easy. You know, sure. I'd say to a girl, "How big is your boyfriend?" Well, 4 inches. I'll put in 3.
Right.
Doesn't matter, you know.
Right. If he's 5, you put in 4.
Exactly.
If he's 26 inches, you put in 25. Yeah.
You need to launch the whole thing in there. You don't have to go balls deep. It's not deep, you know.
It's a nice conversation. How big is your boyfriend's joint? Oh, it's 6 inches.
I'll put in 4.
I'll drop 4 in. What do you say?
Drop 4. It works.
Yeah. And let me confirm it with him.
And it looks good on film. It looks just as good on film. Like, look at John Holmes.
Looks better.
It looks better because you can't get the whole thing in there. It looks good on film doing that.
No, because you see some left. Otherwise, it's like we don't even know if you have a penis. You're just humping an ass.
Exactly.
There you go. Go on a break.
Okay. Take a break. Dry anal rape. How big's, how big's your grandfather's joint? Oh, great. Okay, 7.
Oh, gosh, an abused girl. How big was your dad? Oh, I'll put in less.
Come on. God.
Your priest
that's
is what?
Wrong.
4.5? I'll drop in 4. I'll take a quick break. Drew, what do you got? What should I drop in during the break?
Notice you never said how big was the rabbi? I'll put in less.
They don't do that.
And what's the rabbis doing that?
They're too busy talking and telling bad jokes, too.
They can have a wife. Because rabbis can have wives.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm a Jew.
That's the show. I want to thank, give a lot of thanks out. First, I want to thank Ron Jeremy for coming in here tonight and telling everyone to watch this Surreal Life on the WB, 9 o'clock Sunday nights, favorite new show. I want to thank Engineer Chris for doing a great job out here. Engineer Anderson for doing a fantabulous job back at the home base, Westwood 2, the dump, the smelly cesspool dump, as I like to call it. I want to thank Junior producer Lauren for doing a great job over here, and of course producer Ann for booking great guests like Ron and many others. All right, Drew,
I'll be away for a couple days.
Fantastic. I look forward to you being gone.
I'm going to Deer Valley.
Enjoy
vacation. Nice.
And until next time.
Thank you, Brian.
Out of sight, out of mind. Miss you, buddy. Love you. Phone screener Brian. Until next time. It's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew. Thanks, Ron. Saying mahala.
So he's singing from a hammock tied to a tree, so in hotties with the bodies all over me. I never said I was a teenage hunk, but I made a lot of dough with my tree trunk.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.